Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Hello and welcome. This is Zach Bai, who has the distinct pleasure of talking to the one and the only Jim Ross. Jim, before we take a dive into anything, and I am just fascinated by this conversation, before we take a dive into anything, I know how often you do this. You travel the country every single week. I hear about you have a specific day to do media. I've heard you say that on Grill and JR. But before we get into anything, I got to tell you, man, this is a great thrill for me because I am not just a radio guy. I'm not just a sports guy. I am a true wrestling guy. I know more about you and your career than I'd like to even willingly admit. So this is just a great thrill. And I just wanted you to know from the outset that you are not talking to, you know, a basic peripheral fan. I am a monster fan of yours, have been for many, many years. You're the soundtrack of my childhood. I know that you've heard that thousands of times, but I wanted to make sure that while we're talking here and this one opportunity I have to talk to you, I made sure I conveyed that to you.
I appreciate that, Zach. As long as you don't have my ATM number, we're cool. When I was younger, it used to bother me when I'd hear somebody say, "Hey, JR, you know, you were the voice of my childhood." Now that I'm in my back nine of life, enjoying every minute of it, it's pretty humbling. So thank you for that introduction. And I'm looking forward to talking with you.
Yeah, and I got to start here, and we'll get into the event that's happening on March 4th here in Denver that I will be at. But before we take a dive into that, I got to ask you, how is it strange? Is it bizarre? Is it normal for you, who for years was side by side with Vince in a multitude of roles, but also your broadcasting head to head against a company from Turner for many years, trying to win that war, which you ultimately did for that time, at that point in time, to now be on the other side of it and to be on the call that is going head to head against a Vince McMahon production on TNT, no less. How is that for you?
It was unusual and a little awkward for me at first, simply because it was all new surroundings. New crew, by and large, to work with, new partners to work with, new schedule, travel schedule to deal with. And anybody listening that travels for a living or travels, you know, a lot for any reason knows that air travel right now is not great. And so there's a lot of things you have to deal with. But now that I've been on the air with my partners and with AEW and Tony Khan's group, I'm right at home. I enjoy it. I don't think about WWE in my day-to-day thoughts. I'm not mad at them. I just, you know, I've only got so much space in my bag and on my carry-on, and none of it's negative. And I'm having the time of my life. This is like being the voice of a expansion NFL team. I can only imagine when the Broncos first opened their doors, what it was like being the first voice of the Denver Broncos.
Right.
It had to be kind of a cool deal. So there'll be other voices of AEW in my lifetime probably, but they'll never be the first voice of the AEW. And to me, things like that still mean something significant.
Jim, I heard you say a couple minutes ago, hey, when I was younger, when someone said you're the soundtrack of my childhood, maybe it didn't rub you the right way. Does it bother you when, you know, and I've heard Conrad say this on the podcast, but does it bother you when someone says, hey, you're the greatest wrestling announcer of all time, when in your mind you're the utmost respect for the Gorilla Monsoons and a host of others? Does that rub you the wrong way?
No, it's awkward sometimes. A little bit humbling, you know. I still perceive myself as a country boy from eastern Oklahoma who got real lucky in his first, you know, my $125 a week job in 1974 grew into something much more significant. Luckiest guy alive. I'm living my dream. With these guys now, AEW, these guys, I can be a little bit more descriptive.
Pronouns, pal.
I look forward to going to work every week. I look forward to seeing the talents. They have a plethora of questions. They want leadership. They want teaching. They want coaching up. If nothing else, they want an attaboy occasionally. Mm. And so I spend most of my Wednesdays and some Tuesday nights talking to talents just casually, answering questions, and letting them know how I perceive their most recent work. So it's a real cool role to be in as a senior advisor and the lead announcer of this company. I'm very blessed to have this job.
I'd be remiss if I let this conversation pass without asking you about the biggest movie star in the world right now, and a guy that if you're just a peripheral average wrestling fan that kind of comes and goes, you don't know that once upon a time, Rock had a couple bucks to his name, and it was you, Jim Ross, who signed The Rock. And my question is, and I'm sure you've got this in the past, but again, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask it. After you sign him and you bring him in, was there a specific juncture in time where a light bulb went off in your head? Obviously, you thought Rock was going to be promising or you wouldn't sign him to that initial deal. But was there a point in time that you reflect at where, whether it was an interview, a moment in a match, a crowd pop, where you said, man, this guy is going to be one of the all-time stars?
Well, the first time I took him to lunch in Davie, Florida, I was recruiting him. And I was hoping to leave with a signature. He took me to lunch at a little Cuban place. And I remember exactly what we had. We had grilled chicken, black beans, and yellow rice. And so like that scene when Harry met Sally, the lady says to me after Rock ordered, he's sitting there wearing a tank top. Thank God I wasn't. And he says, she says, "Well, what do you have, sir?" And I said to the lady, the waitress, "I'll have what he's having." Because I just called that Harry Met Sally thing. It sounded funny at one time. In any event, through the course of our little meal, in a little small restaurant, maybe it may have had 100 people in it, maybe, we got offered, seemingly every woman in the building came by our table to see if we wanted something else to drink or more to drink. And a lot of those women didn't even work there. They were guests. And I attribute that to Rock's looks and his tank top. But then, here's what put the cherry on the sundae. A bunch of guys would come by. They recognized me from television all those years. And so they stopped by to say hello or take a selfie or sign something or whatever. But they were talking to me and looking at Rock. So they knew what I did for a living, and they knew what part of my job was, is scouting and recruiting talent. So I knew I had great market research from average, everyday working men and women on that day. It's also that day that he said, "I'd love to buy you lunch, but I've only got $7 to my name." And I thought of this the other day when I was watching Ballers, one of the shows he owns and produces, created.
Sure.
It's produced by his production company, which ironically is named $7 Entertainment.
Isn't that something?
So, it wasn't hard to figure out a guy that's 6'5", looked like Dwayne, and is a multiple ethnicity look and his heritage. You know, his grandpa was a star. His dad was a star. He became, massive star. And now WWE signed The Rock's daughter. And who knows? She has a chance to be a fourth-generation star in the wrestling business. And I hope that she makes it because she's just a darling young woman. And big and athletic too, so we'll see. But it's an interesting story. I still think of Rock almost every day for something. He's in the news every day, and I just feel that happy that I was a small part of getting his first jersey and letting him play.
Yeah, I think you were a bigger part than that, but we can agree to disagree on that. But let me ask you this. This is probably going to be an impossible question for you to answer. But again, when I have you here, I have to try to seize the moment here. Who's the biggest star of them all? You know, when you look back at the entire spectrum, Bruno Sammartino or Hulk Hogan, Andre, Stone Cold, The Rock, Cena. I know it's an impossible question to answer, and it's really kind of an unfair question on my behalf. But is there a name that just shoots to the forefront when I throw those names out there?
Well, nobody's made more money in a shorter amount of time than Steve Austin. So depending on what your criteria is to make this decision, which is very subjective, any conversation about the greatest of all time from me would have Stone Cold involved in at the beginning of the conversation. However, it's going to be very daunting to really pick somebody over Dwayne because of what Dwayne has been able to accomplish and build in the movie world, the television world. He's producing TVs for network television. He's got major, huge films. It's just the things he's done since he got out of wrestling or he left wrestling full time is unbelievable. So it'd be hard for me to, and it's not knocking any of the other guys. It's not JR don't like Hogan or something.
Sure.
I got all the respect in the world for Terry. But bottom line is, look, from starting as a wrestler, getting signed, us sending him down to Memphis, and getting him back in. And I said this about him in, I think, 1996, Survivor Series. There's the blue chipper.
There's the blue chipper. Madison Square right Garden. I remember it. I remember it well. I remember it well. And I remember you saying, that's a blue chipper right there. And that turned out to be a famous line among hardcore wrestling fans. Let me ask you about the other night. Cody Rhodes, really, and especially for a company like AEW, you are trying to carve this niche and trying to, you know, eat into the wrestling market, and I mean that in a good way. The moment from Cody Rhodes the other night, you know, doing the moonsault off the cage, that thing went viral. I admittedly was not watching at the time, but through Twitter, it sort of found me. In that moment, you were on the call. I mean, you have been a part of some of the biggest cage match moments. Of course, one you get asked about every single day, Mankind getting thrown off the cage, King of the Ring, 1998 by The Undertaker. I think you were on the bad blood call when Shawn fell off the cage as well. Where does that Cody Rhodes moment the other night, that moonsault, where does that one stack up?
Well, it's still soaking in, but it's going to, as time goes on, because some, it's like my high school buddies who are in their 60s now, they're a lot better football players in high school now than they were then. If you don't believe me, just ask them.
Right.
I think as time goes on, what Cody did in Atlanta, sits in the same spot that his dad performed in the Omni for many, many years, some great events, will take on a life of its own. And it will be spoken of in the same regard of what people talk about Undertaker and Mick Foley there in Pittsburgh in 98. I have people to me, 98, when it happened, now they're reciting my lines.
Right.
My commentary. And the irony of that is that they weren't even born when it happened originally, some of them. They just read it. They've heard it. They've seen the clips. It's all social media every day in some shape, form, or fashion. So, but I think Cody's leap off this, what he did for AEW that night was probably more significant for his brand than even Mick and Undertaker, because the WWE's roots are already established deeply, and their product was growing, and we were getting hot, and the stars are getting just coming into their own. And that's an unlike where we are now with they we're the baby in town, we're the new kids in town. So I just think what Cody did, he got more people talking about AEW with that moonsault off the cage. And look, that cage is not a diminutive cage. It was 20 feet high.
Right.
You can't practice that stuff. You don't learn that. And you notice when he went up, he didn't wait. He didn't want to look around and do the old pro wrestling, milk it, and should I jump, should I not jump? He went up and took care of his business. And I would have probably done the same thing, because I'd have been scared to death. If I looked around, I might have aborted my mission. But what he did over the long haul, as time goes on, people realize how important it was for AEW to get that recognition. And we won the ratings again this week against NXT, which we're proud of.
That's
great.
They
have a great show, no doubt. They got wonderful talents there. But we're competing. That's all. Just like your radio station is competing. We're all looking for our share of the market.
Right.
And there's plenty to go around, quite frankly. And the ones that get the benefit is, now you got another great night on Wednesday night to watch pro wrestling with you, see.
Yep, and as I've heard you say, look, it's 2020. You can do both. You know, you can do. It doesn't have to be one or the other. That's not the way that really anything works. We have football games that happen on two different channels at the same time. We somehow find a way to enjoy both, don't we? You know, it's not like you can't flip over or record it. I've always loved how you have made that distinction that you go about this without any sort of hate or negativity. Like, hey, this is good for the wrestling business, and somehow, Jim, wrestling, it's to people who aren't fans, they don't understand how it's still so popular. This is not being shown on MTV anymore. It had the heyday through the 90s, through the 2000s, and here we are where you got billion-dollar deals being signed. I know you guys just got extended. Wrestling, professional wrestling, has been here, is here, and isn't going anywhere.
Well, you know, in your world, it's no different than my world. Content is king. If you find a way to fill a void with content that's needed and entertaining and informative or whatever your criteria are of producing your product, then you got a chance to score some cash and have a good career, et cetera, et cetera. Content is king because of so many platforms to utilize your content. And pro wrestling is a lot. Our show on Wednesday nights is a live show. And so live programming is at a premium. So I think that's why the XFL got a hell of rights fees without ever playing a game because it was fresh content that was live. Live, fresh content. And so, you know, they seem to be doing okay in that world. But content is king, and we're just trying to find our niche and convince the audience out there that we're not like the other alternatives. We're different, and that's why we're doing better than anybody ever anticipated. We're different than the traditional pro wrestling product, and we're going to continue to become more different. Example, the cage match we had the other night, other promotions, including WWE, have escaping the cage as a way of winning. If you look at it logically, and the hero is going to win, why would any hero walk away from a fight?
Right.
That's against common sense and human nature. So by escaping the cage, you essentially walk away from a fight. And this other way is pinfall or submission. And the I just think it's an old school thing. It's a throwback, but it's a way to step back in time to the better parts. Same thing with time limits. We utilize time limits because it creates another option for the match to end in a time limit draw. We don't do it very much, but it's there, so you start paying attention to it a little bit.
Yeah.
So I like the little subtle things we're doing, and you know, folks in your neck of the woods coming up sooner than later are going to see exactly that.
Yeah, and I can't wait. March 4th, I'll be there at the First Bank Center for AEW Dynamite, and I just had to throw this in there. I know you love the other sports analogies. You just referenced it in passing, having a time limit and opening up another door for the way a match to end, and that's a draw. If what we're going to see this weekend, Tyson Fury and Dante Wilder, so much of the momentum behind this match is because their first match did end in a draw. And I did not order that first fight. I watched it after the fact, but I'll be damn sure to order that fight tomorrow night on Saturday because of the mystery of that first outcome.
Yeah, and when you got heavyweights wearing 8-ounce gloves, you don't want to try to join it in progress.
right.
Big as those guys are, as hard as they hit, you got to be leery of missing out that knockout punch that comes at any time. So I'm with you. I'll be watching that fight at my neighbor's house, who's also the offensive line coach, Bill Beedenbow of the Oklahoma Sooners. So that's kind of our every Saturday night thing. Occasionally, when there's a USC fight or a boxing event or something like that, he and I are normally having a cold beer discussing the what we're seeing.
That sounds like a great time. I won't keep you for too much longer. I just have one or two more questions. Let me ask you how much fun you're having with this Grilling JR podcast. I got on it about 3 months ago, 4 months ago for the first time. I was made aware of it through, you know, just options being presented to me when I was listening to Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. That got a little bit too PC for me, to be honest with you, and I think we know the reasons why. But then I got opened up to yours and the truth-telling and drudging up of memories that you have with Conrad on that podcast. How much fun are you having with that?
Love it. You know, Conrad is not called the Podfather for nothing. And we're having, you know, I'm knocking on wood as we speak. I'm actually in a recording studio. I started today recording Under the Black Hat for the audio book. But Conrad's he's brilliant at his strategy. He has great rapport with the advertisers. You know, we're doing a full load of advertisers. We're sold out more weeks than not, which is where you get where you earn your keep. But he and I get along well. We're two guys that like to eat. We're two Southerners, so we're not ashamed to tell you that we eat fried food more often than we should. And we enjoy talking wrestling. He knows he's like me. Even though we're doing this for a living, we are still fans.
Sure.
And I think that's what has kept me around so long, is that I've never lost my love of the game. So I'm just very blessed that Conrad came into my life. And not only, and more importantly, not only are we successful in our podcast, Grillin' JR drops every Thursday at 6 in the morning, Westwood One. We also, I gained a friend.
Mm.
And at my stage of life, gaining new friends that you really like being around and you trust and you want to hang with is a really cool blessing. So Conrad's a difference maker in my professional life. And you know, we've got a lot of plans for our show, and the boy's really growing well. I'm very, very blessed. And I sure thank everybody that listens to it. It's free.
Right.
So I tell people it's worth every cent you pay for.
Right, right. And it gives an opportunity for someone like me to relive the moments that I love without actually having it, the other vehicles just to go back and watch it, but to relive it through the storytelling is another vehicle for me to get there and relive those experiences. I hope you guys do it for as long as you possibly can, because I love it. All right, last question before we hit Dynamite on March 4th at the First Bank Center. If you had an hour to kill, and you have Arena A on your left and Arena B on your right, and in one arena, it's Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart, and in the other arena, it's Ric Flair versus Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. How do you kill that hour? What match are you watching?
Oh, boy. Man, that's like saying, I know you like pie, JR. What kind of pie do you like?
Right.
You know, it's like my mom made great apple pie, and my grandma made great chocolate pie. And if I didn't have that's me, that's why I got to be a chubby little kid. You would hurt their feelings if you didn't try both.
Right.
But I the generational thing and the presentation is something special. I would probably start with Flair, because it's hard to follow Flair, quite frankly. Now you're going to. And the only way you can follow Flair is two guys like Shawn and Bret. So I would probably close with Shawn and Bret, but I'd start the ball rolling with Nate Steamboat. You know, I call all three of their matches in 89.
Yep.
That I believe to be three of the best matches I've ever seen. And I also call the three Kenny Omega, who's on our roster now at AEW, and Kazuchika Okada's matches for New Japan via Mark Cuban's Access TV. And some people that have never seen Flair and Steamboat or the build to both those matches will go to their grave saying that Okada and Omega was by far the best trilogy. Well, it may be the best trilogy because it's very subjective. But you can't you can't eliminate how good Flair and Steamboat were in 89. You can go back and watch it today on the WWE Network or wherever you find it, and you're going to see that match will hold up very well today. When you get four artists of those that ilk, that skill level, it's hard for them to produce a bad painting. They're drawing a picture for everybody to see. If you allow them to have their own colors, their own brushes, do their own thing, create their own music, then you hope for guys like me and whomever else is out there that we can provide a great lyric to their music. And there's no doubt in my mind that both those combinations would deliver exactly what guys like you and me would love.
Yeah, and I just love the way that, that you put that, putting the lyrics to their music. That's I love that, Jim. Let me just ask you, AEW Dynamite, March 4th at the First Bank Center here in Denver. I'm going to be there. I'm getting a credential from you guys, and I'm actually going to I'm going to try to come and meet you before the show. I don't know if you're going to have 2 or 3 minutes to take a picture that will outlast both of us.
Sure.
But I'll be there again. If someone hadn't watched All Elite Wrestling, if they were brand new to AEW, give us a quick summary and a snapshot of what AEW is.
Well, it's a bunch of really hungry guys. Some are veterans that have unfulfilled dreams. I'll give you an example, like John Moxley. His name was Dean Ambrose in WWE. He's married to Renee Young, who's from WWE. But here he goes under the name John Moxley. He started a clean slate. He felt unfulfilled in WWE creatively. And here we don't have writers and providing the script for his promos. That's, you give them bullet points and they create their own content. Content is king. Remember that. But Moxley's as close to a Stone Cold feel as anybody I've been around since Stone Cold. Mm. Chris Jericho, I've called him the Reverend of Reinvention because he keeps getting better. He's 50 or 49, I think. But he's never been better. Psychologically, he's never been better. He's still in great shape, and he knows how to get himself over. So Jericho is a proven commodity, former WWE champion, former headliner at WrestleMania. He's still kicking ass for us. Then you got the Young Bucks, who arguably may be the best tag team in wrestling today. They are a lot like the Hardy Boys, a lot like the Rock and Roll Express. You know, they're just that a wonderful chemistry because they are truly brothers who grew up together working out on a trampoline to try to live their dream as undersized performers. And I believe they're the best tag team in the world. So we got hungry kids, Darby Allin, 20-something, Jungle Boy Jack Perry, 23, I think, MJF, the second coming of Paul Heyman, only this kid can wrestle, is 22, I think. So we got 20, early 20-somethings to, you know, vets, and we all get a chance to help the young guys. I love that. I love coaching and recruiting and all the things that I did with WWE, and I get to do a lot of those things now with AEW because I love talking to the talent and letting them understand what the journey's like. And it's a different journey every day, and don't get complacent. Complacency is where things go to die. And I'll harken back to that great line in Talladega Nights: if you ain't first, you're last.
Right. I love it. Well, Jim, I got to tell you, I got so much enjoyment out of this conversation. It just made my day. Again, I'm such a big fan, and I'm on the air here, a three-hour talk show on the number one sports station in Denver. Do you remember the wide receiver Brandon Stokely? He's a down south kid from Louisiana, played 15 years.
Yeah.
He's my co-host. We're going to play a part of this conversation on the air for Denver. We're going to push people to the website that has all the information, AEW Dynamite, on March 4th at the First Bank Center. I'm going to be there, and JR, I can't wait to shake your hand.
Okay, buddy, me too. Look forward to it. Thanks for your time. And look, our tickets start at $20. It's a family event. You know, you saw on TV last week Cody's move. There was blood in the cage match. But back in the old days, there was always blood in cage matches. And the political correctness even has seeped into pro wrestling to where we sanitized it. There's the difference of being sanitized and being pardon me. And being in showing good poor taste. Nothing we're going to do is going to embarrass you to watch it with your kids or your family. And I think you'll love the atmosphere. Our demographic is male, 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 18 to 49. And you know, little kids come, mom, dad's. But the crust of our demo is that premium 18 to 49 male demo. And we deliver that in a big way. So you'll see a lot of energy. A lot of testosterone rolling around the arena. It's a fun night of entertainment, and you can afford it. And we'd love to see everybody there. And I appreciate your time, buddy.
All right, Jim. Have a great day. Thanks again.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Oh. You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.